Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
So this week, the title of my message is Pickle. Hence why, and no judgment for those who have specific pickles that you like, these don't have to be refrigerated, okay? So this is what I have. So let's talk about vegetables, or technically fruits. This right here, if you've ever seen one out in the wild, this is a cucumber. Cucumber. In the wild, some people are like, this is the, I don't know what this is. This is what it looks like before you get it. It's a little big for that jar, but it's a cucumber. It's a lot like us. It's fresh, it's full of potential, but still kind of plain. Some people are offended right now. It's okay. It's okay. Nothing's wrong with it, but let's be honest. No one's lining up for cucumber-flavored chips. For those who have had dill pickle chips, or my favorite, spicy dill pickle chips. Anyone? No? Okay. Oh, there we go. Oh, they're good. Now that you know, you can check them out. On the other hand, a pickle, same vegetable, totally different vibe. Pickles have flavor. Pickles have flavor. They've been changed. They've been transformed. And here's the thing. The guys didn't get that way. These guys didn't get that way because they tried real hard. This right here is sitting around in the vegetable aisle going, I wish I was a pickle. And no matter what this guy does, he's never going to be a pickle by wanting to. He's not going to become a pickle just because he feels like the pickles are awesome and he wants to join them. It didn't wake up this morning and say, today is the day I'm going fully dill. It got this way by sitting, by soaking, by being immersed in a new environment day after day. That's what changed it. And honestly, that's how spiritual growth works too. You don't become more like Jesus by gritting your teeth and deciding, I'm going to be patient, I'm going to be kind. Have you tried that? Have you ever just tried to be nice? Like, today I'm going to be nice. You know what God's going to do? God's going to give you an opportunity to be nice. And you know what's usually going to happen? If you're doing this, you're not going to be nice. I've been there. Like, I'm not up here going, guys, Jesus has totally transformed every second of my day, and I'm nice all the time. Ask my kids. Ask my wife. Sometimes I'm not. But it doesn't happen just because you will it to be so. It doesn't happen just because you decide that you're going to be. You become like him by staying close, abiding. That's what we're diving into today, the pickle. So let's pray. Father, everybody in this room, in one way or the other, wants you. We may be chasing you the wrong way. We may be chasing after things that aren't even you, but at the heart of everything, we long to be known by the one who designed us and created us. We long for the peace that you offer in spite of trying hard times. We long for the transformation that your word promises those who are his. Many of us in this room right now are struggling with things that we cannot overcome, even though we have tried our best to do so. So, Lord, would you let us soak in you today? Would you allow us to stop running towards what we think we should be doing and just sitting in your presence? And so, Lord, would you speak through your word today? Would you challenge us to allow you to pickle us. We love you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a couple things that I want to go through to kind of prove my point that we all, as much as this looks awesome, we want this. We want this. So the first thing that I'm going to use to kind of illustrate that point is we've been invited to come and see. So you've been reading along with us in the one-year Bible, and you might be saying to yourself, ooh, what is this one-year Bible that you speak of? We have free ones that are on our table out front, and all the one-year Bible is if you open up today, you'll get a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, and if you read every day, you will read the entire Bible in a year. And for those that are reading along with us, you've gotten into our first verse that we're going to talk to, our first few verses. This is John the Baptist has started his ministry. He has disciples that are following him, and they've seen Jesus, and this is going to be an interaction that they have where they are with John. They're his disciples, and they see Jesus go by, and John makes a statement, and they go to Jesus and ask him a question. Verse 35, it says, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. That's a reference to not just like, oh man, that's a reference to the Messiah. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. What a sad day for John the Baptist. No, John the Baptist had a purpose and a mission, and it was to point to Jesus. And there is nothing greater for him to see than his disciples choose to follow Jesus. So they see Jesus go by. They hear their discipler say these words, behold the Lamb of God, and they turn and follow Jesus. Verse 38, and Jesus turned and saw them following them and said, what are you seeking? This is the word from the Lord for all of us. As we look to Jesus, he's asking, what are you looking for? Because some of us, to be completely honest, may be looking to Jesus for the wrong reason. We may be looking to Jesus just to solve our problem, not to have a Savior. And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Transformation begins with proximity. The disciples didn't get a lecture, and they got an invitation to spend time with Jesus. Yes, Jesus did teach in front of them, but Jesus invited his disciples to come and follow, come and stay, come and see. See, that's the start of the long soak. That's the start of this. When we decide to follow Jesus, this begins our journey, and it is a long journey. My last point I'll go ahead and tell you is this doesn't happen overnight. I can open this jar right now. I can cut this cucumber up, and I can dip it in there and take a bite of it, and I will have a little bit of flavor of it, but it will not be a pickle. And many of us, we do that. We're like, we want Jesus. Dee-dee. We got to soak. See, 3 years of this soaking turned 11 not winners. You catch that? I was writing losers, and then I just felt bad. So I wrote not winners. No one seeing the disciples of the day thinking, I'm going to start a religious movement that's going to change the world, would pick the people that Jesus picked. And you know why? It should give us hope. You know what transformed them? Proximity to Jesus. Not because they were special, not because they were, you know, different than everyone else. Actually, they weren't. And we see them as they follow Jesus, making mistakes, saying stuff like, we come into this town and they reject you. Lord, do you want us to call down fire? I mean, these are the disciples that he picked. 3 years of soaking, and 11 of them, I didn't count wrong. One of them, Judas, you know, he hung himself. Not winners, turned into a group of men that changed the world. They learned slowly the art of surrender. And that's the invitation that Jesus gives us to come and see. And that come and see means come and stay, come and walk, come and journey with me. John 10:27, it says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. The shepherd makes noise. He sings. The sheep know his voice because they're familiar, because they've been around him, and they trust him because they know him. And Jesus is using this example. You know, we cannot go, okay, oh, there's the voice of God and I'm going to leave for a period of time and come back. We have to sit in it so we can know his voice. Because when we know his voice, we allow ourselves to follow. A little bit later on in John 12:26, it says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. For where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. There's this idea that Jesus is not calling you, giving you a mission, and sending you out. Jesus is inviting you into a mission that he's walking through, walking in, and saying, hey, come, let's do this together. And I talk about this. I am the little kid with the backpack with the leash on it. Because God whispers something to my ear, and I'm like, ha, let's go and do it. And, you know, like, I was like, ah. Come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And some of you are super like, why would you put a leash on a child? Some children. Some children are alive today because of that leash. I need it. God's constantly going, you're getting ahead of me, you're getting ahead of me. Here's the next one. We cannot transform ourselves by trying harder. Many of us have tried it. Many of us have gone, I'm going to read. Many of us, just the word, the one-year Bible, has brought judgment on yourself. You'll be like, I've never read it in a year. Many of us right now are going, I'm good. This is the year. We start in January. This is the year I'm going to read every day, and I'm going to read the entire Bible. And when you mess up, you're like, oh, man, God doesn't like me anymore. Listen to this in John 15, verse 4. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Just like the cucumber can become a pickle by gritting its teeth, we cannot become holy by trying harder. No amount of religious striving can substitute life connected to Jesus. And sometimes you may even hear this from me, and I struggle with this in a sense that sometimes you can hear me saying, and it feels like, try harder. So I need sermons like this to make sure that we're all on the same page, that it is not about trying harder, it's about surrendering more. It's about willfully, willingly coming to Jesus over and over again and doing things that we're not comfortable with necessarily to say, I am yours. You don't muscle your way into Christ's likeness. You immerse yourself into a relationship with Jesus. We surrender to that and say, I'm yours. And the hard part for us in this room is we know our brokenness. You know your issue. You know your sin struggle, and you're waiting to say, well, does God want me back in that proximity? And let me just tell you, the answer is always yes. The answer is always, come, return. I want you. This is what he does, is he constantly makes up for us because he wants us to be transformed. Your transformation is more important to him than it is to you, but it will not happen without him. So we read and we see the transformation in the Bible and we go, I want this. Like, I want that. No one's read, you know, the fruits of the Spirit and be like, I don't want that. Like, I don't want joy, peace, patience, kindness. Some of, you know, self-control. But no one's like, man, I don't want that in my life. Everybody reads that list and be like, man, if I could just have that, or if you know, like, if that person could just have it. We want transformation. But it does not happen just because we willingly say the branch doesn't do anything. Is there any more useless piece of the plant than the branch? It's just a conduit. It has to be connected. We in our backyard right now, my daughter, Allie, she didn't care what people had told her about seeds from apples that you buy at the grocery store, and she planted one. And you know what that did? It grew in this little cup, and we're like, oh, this is cute. Things don't usually live in our house. Well, that thing kept going, and we got a bigger pot and a bigger pot, and now it's planted in our backyard, and it's taller than me. And right now, there's apples on it. We got another apple tree that we bought from Lowe's because we heard that you need two to germinate, pollinate, whatever that is. This is what happens when I talk about things that I don't know anything about. But that fruit started coming in that branch that those are on, and like, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. He's not looking at the other branches going, me. No, he's literally just a conduit of the grace that is going from the trunk to the fruit. Here's another thing. Transformation happens in a new environment. Romans 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind and by the testing that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. The hard part of this is that every one of us, you know, I'm using this as an illustration of what we want to be pickled by the Holy Spirit. We want to be pickled by God so we can become who he calls us to be. The problem is every one of us are being pickled right now by the world. Every one of us is being transformed into something. You're like, no. Yes, yes. What you wear, what you do, what you watch, everything's transforming you into that place. And here it is in Romans. He's like, hey, do not be conformed to the world. If we're going to have this transformation, we have to sometimes get out of the brine that we were in and into the right one. See, a cucumber. So close to needing my glasses up here, guys, but it's pride. I don't know if you notice this, but I keep raising this closer and closer. I'm going to pull it all the way out. A cucumber has to leave its old environment and become something new. It has to be immersed into a different solution. You cannot soak in the same old brine of the world and expect different outcome. Many of us do that. We're like, oh, I want to be transformed by God, but we're not willing to leave this old environment, these old things, these old friends, these old habits. And we cannot have one foot in one jar and one foot in the other. You may say to yourself, maybe my soaking in the world has already tainted me too much. Maybe you're like, man, depending on what age you are, be like, man, I've been so in it for so long. I don't know that there is enough transformation power in God to remove that from me. And I here's a verse. I should call up one of my guys. We memorized this last month, but I won't do that to you. Where you at? There you are. They all look down. Nope. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. Listen to this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Behold, the new has come and the old is gone. I always get the behold wrong. Yeah, behold goes at the end. See, I tried to do what I did to you guys and I failed also. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The beauty of this is if transformation is done by God, it doesn't matter the taint of everything else. He can fix that. I mean, he proved it over and over again where he took the not winners that had been in the world, and some of them were zealots. Zealots used war to get their way. Matthew, a tax collector, was the hated of hate. He took people that people would have been like, no, and he transformed them into people that changed our world. To be transformed, we have to leave behind the world's patterns, self-centeredness, comparison, busyness, and step into life of the Spirit. Things like the Scripture, prayer, worship, and community become the brine God uses to reshape our minds and hearts. Look, and I say this a lot. If your hope is that you're going to get everything you need to be shaped by God in this hour and 10 minutes that we have you in this room, you're going to lose to the world. You just are. I don't preach that well, and our worship team is great, but they do not worship hard enough for you to make it for the next 6 days without it. We have to find those pieces of our life. We have to rest in it. Scripture has to become part of our life. If it's not, you cannot overcome, because you'll be looking for people to tell you what you should believe instead of looking at the Word. Prayer is the same way, and you don't have to be perfect. And some of you are like, oh man, I don't know about going to a prayer meeting. No one's going to make you pray, I promise. No one's going to look right at you and be like, all right, John, it's your turn to pray. Will you now stand up in front of everybody? No one is going to do that. And God receives your heartfelt prayers better than the most rehearsed, wordy, flowery prayers. You know how I know this? Because one of the people in the temple in front of Jesus was a tax collector, and he's beating his chest on the ground, and he's like, oh, I don't deserve this. Forgive me. And this other religious person in the corner stands probably loud enough for everybody to hear him and say, God, I'm so grateful you didn't make me like these people. And Jesus pointed out who left the room justified. This one that's over here probably going, he doesn't even hear me. And Jesus is right there going, I hear you. True change is gradual and Spirit-led. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, and we all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Here's the sad part. Pickling isn't fast. You will not become everything that God has intended you to be overnight. It will not happen. And some of us in this room are frustrated at our progress. We're mad about moving forward because we don't like where we're at. And I just want to say, be patient with yourself. God works things at His pace. So you cannot microwave a cucumber into a pickle. It takes time. And the longer it soaks, the deeper the flavor. See, God isn't in a rush with your growth. Real spiritual changes isn't instant, but it is inevitable when we stay in this place of surrender. The Spirit of God does not slow deep work for forming Christ in us. He doesn't slow it down. Layer by layer, choice by choice, He's working His way into us. Remember this pickle. It didn't earn its transformation. It didn't work for it. It stayed where it needed to be, in the brine. Over time, the change happened. Some of us are still living like this cucumber, constantly trying harder, jumping from one spiritual high to the next, hoping for overnight change, but God's invitation isn't about striving, it's about abiding, staying close, soaking in His truth, trusting that He is at work even when you cannot see it. One of the most dangerous things that you can bend your will to is feeling. If you hope that today that you're going to feel like you love Jesus all the time and that it feels amazing to be a part of His journey, that feeling is fickle. So here's the question I want to leave you with. Are you trying to change yourself, or are you letting God change you? Don't leave here today trying to be a better cucumber. Make a decision to soak in God's presence and trust that He'll do the transforming. Philippians 1:6, the great Bible verse. You should memorize it. It says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. If you are his, he is not done working on you. I'm going to invite our worship team to come up front. Some of us in this room, I've been on our Jesus journey for a long time. And some of us are disappointed with how our life looks. And I just want to encourage you that what God starts, he finishes. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for those, for the good of those who love him are called according to his purpose. And all things means all the things that are going on in our life. Everything that is going on, good or bad, in your life right now, God is working something out. So maybe today you realize something. You've been trying to fix yourself, clean yourself up, and make yourself more spiritual. But deep down, you're tired. Because no matter how hard you try, it never feels like it's enough. The good news, Jesus didn't come to offer you a self-improvement plan. He came to offer you new life. He's not asking you to change yourself. He's inviting you to come to him, stay close, and let him do the transforming. Like the cucumber in the brine, it's not about performance, it's about proximity. And if you've never taken that first step to follow Jesus, to place your trust in him, receive his grace, and begin a life abiding, then today is your day. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to know everything. Let me just tell you, if you've hoped that you've come to a church that Heath Cadell, which is my name, if you don't know me, has all the answers, I don't. And no one in this room has all the answers. We have some answers, and we're hope. That we're leading you into the grace and mercy that God has given us. But we want to help you get to a place that you trust in Jesus. This is why we preach the Word of God. You just have to say yes. If that's you and you want to do that, the easiest part for you today is the beginning, the first step. And you're not taking a first step towards an ideology or a first step towards a system of rules. You're taking a first step towards a person. And that person has invited you not into a path that he's going to leave you to walk by yourself. He's invited you into a relationship with him. And so what I'm going to do right now is I'm just going to pray for us and ask that God would move for us. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for those who publicly declared their allegiance to you through baptism. But I pray for those in this room that may be on the edge of making that commitment, saying yes to you. And I just pray that you would call them into a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that they would do just what the disciples did when they heard you walking by. They followed. Jesus' word to us is come and see. And so, Lord, would you show us? Would you help people make that step into their journey of being a Christ follower? And Lord, would you give them a boldness to declare that here? And so, Lord, I just ask you also for those in this room that are your willing servants, your children. Lord, I pray that we would take serious our becoming like you. That we wouldn't feel condemned because of our lack of effort or our stuff. That we would honestly stop striving and start resting in you. So Lord, you call us there. So Lord, help us be faithful to stay. Lord, we love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.